future-proof is your freelance career? This is a question that we all need to ask. And as part of our Change and Embracing Change series that we've, this is the last episode in that series, we're going to maybe look at talking about some strategies to look at future-proofing your career, because at the end of the day, speaking for myself, I don't want to go back into a corporate workforce. I would either kill somebody else or myself, I think. So I want to keep freelancing for as long as possible. I don't know how you feel, Shay. Would you go back into the workforce?
And not wear activewear every day. You must be mad. No, thank you. And I think you'll be hard-pressed to find freelancers who've been doing it for a while that could ever actually envision being told what to do and when to do it and how to do it and how long to do it. And no, thank you.
Yeah. So how do we future-proof our freelancing careers? Because, I mean, all of us can probably find permanent jobs somewhere. I mean, our skill set, whether we're in the, well, freelancing, I assume a lot of us are in the creative space, whether it's writing or designing or animation, et cetera, et cetera. So there's always a demand for that type of skill set. But to be able to keep freelancing, what kind of strategies have you put in place to bulletproof your career and make sure that you can carry on freelancing?
Well, first of all, I think there's actually a personal element to it, and that is of your personal enjoyment or aptitudes or interests that you need to focus on. Because if you are finding yourself trying to do something that either you're not good at or you're not interested in or feels like a real toch, it's actually not going to be sustainable in the long run, because you're not going to deliver your best work and you're not going to enjoy your job. And then you're going to start looking for a full-time job because you're not enjoying this freelancing thing, and it's demotivating. So I think there's something to be said with finding what makes you tick, and not to say that you're going to absolutely love what you do every single day, because it's work and no one really loves work that much, surely. But it's finding something that you're good at, that interests you, and generally, if those two things combine, you're on a winning streak. So I think part of future-proofing your career is making sure that you're firstly doing the right thing. And then the second part, well, I suppose they work concurrently, is making sure that it's something the market wants, because you could be designing, I don't know, the best footwear for ducks. And you could be really interested in it and really good at it. But if no one wants to buy it, you're also not going to be able to create a career of that. So keeping a keen eye on what the market wants. And how do you do that? There is a bit of trial and error involved, for sure. But it's also being very clear on who is actually going to want and buy what you are creating. And speaking to people, seeing what others in the industry are doing, and adapting accordingly. So there's that element of it. And then once you've got that marketable skill that you enjoy doing, it's a case of continuously learning, refining, so that you're not getting left behind, because this world that we live in moves so fast. So, I mean, for example, I used to, and I can't believe it when I look back now, I used to do social media management. And now, you know, the way that social media has moved on, I would have absolutely no clue how to start. So for example, sure, I can write some enticing social media copy, but now I must do a reel to go with it. Or, I mean, reels probably like 10 years ago anyway. I don't even know what the latest video format is. So I quickly took, actually, instead of deciding to adapt to the new market, I took myself out of that market because I'm not really interested in pursuing it, and it's not in my in my skill set. It used to be back in the day when you could just have great copy, a photo to go with, and done, there's your Facebook post. It's not like that anymore. So that's something that I stepped out of. I'm just thinking, maybe if you were a transcriber, I mean, no one needs that anymore. AI has got that job done for you. So maybe you need to pivot and offer virtual assistant services or whatever that looks like. So you can never bank on what you're doing staying the same forever.
Yeah. I mean, we had this conversation recently in our niching episode, niche, but not too much. And it really is. You need to find something that you enjoy doing. And it reminds me of my old karate instructor. I had a conversation with him about, like, you know, how did you end up being a karate instructor? And he's like, never do what you're passionate about. Find a passion for what you're doing. If you're going to turn something into something that you need to earn money from, you're going to lose your passion for that thing very quickly. But if you are really good at something and you can find a passion for doing that, then you're in a stronger scenario, I suppose, to make a go of it. So yeah, I mean, I'm really good at a lot of things, but I can't earn money off of anything. Like what you said, like, none of that stuff is really income generating, but I am good at writing and I'm good at extracting information from people. So that is something that I've kind of honed my skills in on, and that's what's earning me money at this stage. But like you say, trial and error, it's a lot of kind of building a skill set, seeing what the market needs, and kind of moving in that direction. You know, now with AI, we discussed AI in a previous episode. Deadlines have become so much shorter. So how do you adapt to that trend? You develop your AI skill set. You learn how to leverage the tool correctly. Always try and upskill in the direction that your that the market and your interests kind of are intersecting it.
Exactly.
So continuous learning is obviously a thing. Where do you go to learn? For me, Udemy is like a super accessible, really easy place to find, not accredited courses, obviously, but I'm finding using tools like Perplexity and ChatGPT, if I've got a question, I've got an even more kind of basic starting point now. I can just go there and say, if I'm moving in this direction, where should I start building my skill set? And from there, you can even refine it even further. So where are you kind of developing your skills? What resources are you using?
So a bit of that, like actual, you know, reading, learning. But for me, and I think for a lot of people, learning by doing. So sometimes taking on something that you don't feel 100% confident in, but you know that it's going to force you to upskill. So, I mean, that's basically how I learned SEO. Was I was working as a marketing manager and I sort of oversaw an SEO agency. And then when I started working for myself as a freelancer, I started offering SEO services, most of which I'd never actually done, but I just did sort of experiment by Google. And, you know, if someone asked, can you do this? I'd say, give me 1 second and then quickly Google and give them an answer. So, and from there, it's become an interest of mine. And now I sign up for different SEO newsletters so that I can stay up to date. So, you know, if there's a particular niche that you have, you know, setting up a Google alert so that you're staying current with what's going on in the industry. And that's how I stay up to date now. There's some great companies out there that push out the latest changes and now the new adaptations to AI, which I still need to actually get to and upskill myself with. So, I mean, isn't it amazing that we live in this information age where this stuff is available to us and a lot of it is for free? It's incredible.
It's amazing.
Like,
it's amazing.
If you've got the internet, what's your excuse?
I do feel that maybe it's an information overload, though, because I've you know, let me develop my skill set in this direction. And I start off in that direction. And there is just so much information coming at me all the time that sometimes I'm learning completely irrelevant or outdated things at the same time.
That learning on the job is helpful because it kind of focuses you to what do I need to know in order to do this specific thing? And then you can build on it from there. So something that my next target is writing for UX. So I'd like to do just a quick, you know, Udemy or find a UX course and then, offer that service to someone, maybe at a slightly discounted rate because it's not something I've done before, and then actually put it into practice.
Yeah. UX is a whole different kettle of fish.
User experience, folks, yeah. For those.
Yeah. I tried going down that route, and I did a couple of Udemy courses. And what I was doing was accessibility, not necessarily user experience. So you need to be sure that you're going down that this is what I'm talking about. Make sure you're going down the right route of upskilling before you commit too far down that route. So maybe develop little skills at a time, you know, like tweak one thing. It's kind of like making decisions. If you change one variable at a time and you monitor the results, you know what that variable has affected. So or if it's had an impact. And I think the same with skill development. Don't sign up for like a degree course in psychology when a query on ChatGPT would do. I wish I'd known that before I'd spent a lot of money on UX stuff.
That you haven't used or don't
I've
want
never,
to use?
I was working on an app development thing with somebody else and I did some micro copy for that. But otherwise. But it's part of my skill set now. So when I'm consulting on like website projects, I do have a little bit of that kind of UX and design perspective to lay the website out. So I suppose it's never a waste to develop a new skill. It's just whether you can leverage that skill to make money. So So on the job training, do you have something, you know, something that you have learned on the job? I know that I've used this example before, but the podcast is very much, again, it started out as a 2-minute joke to learn how to use software to do music remixing, which I don't even do, and I'm doing a podcast now. from that, every time I did a podcast on this particular software, I learned a new tool. So it was kind of an incremental thing. And I'm not even using that tool anymore. I'm using a completely different tool now. But all the stuff that I have learned from the early days of the podcast have helped me interviewing people for work and for deep knowledge pieces and kind of, you know, playing around with formats and that kind of thing on podcasts themselves. So do you have a similar thing that you tried on the job?
So definitely the SEO example. And then something else that I developed last year was an online course. So that was a whole new thing for me. And look, I'll be honest, I haven't made a lot of money from the course at all. But what I learned along the way in terms of marketing, maybe my marketing wasn't that great if I haven't made a lot of money from it, but learning how to create video content, for example, and learning how to sort of soft sell something, and a lot of the skills I can put to work for my clients, even if they're not helpful to me right now. That course creation was, and using the platforms was something completely new, getting into email marketing for myself, which is something I've done for clients, but never done for myself. And I've definitely been able to take a lot of, because I listened to so many podcasts on course creation. And I mean, there's so many out there, and I was reading and speaking to people and participating on groups. I really put a lot into it. And I'm pleased to say that, you know, at least a lot of that knowledge I can now transfer to the work that I'm doing for my clients.
I think that's probably like a consolation prize, because, you know, you get married to your ideas and it's really disappointing when they don't work out the way you had envisioned, especially when you've put so much in. I mean, I know how much work an online course is to create. But at least you've got some skills now to apply to the client work. So I think that that's probably a good way to look at upskilling, is even if the thing that you're working towards doesn't work out, you're probably still gaining some really valuable skills.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm telling myself anyway, you know. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, you have to, because, you know, we need to keep ourselves sane somehow. You guys, the audience, the listeners, viewers, wherever you're listening or watching this, what skills have you developed and how has it helped you? Did you do it on the job? Have you done courses that you found were really good? Please tell us in the comments, pop us a DM on social media as well. And while you're here, don't forget to subscribe, whether you're listening on your favorite streaming platform or watching on YouTube. And yeah, we'll be back next month with a whole new selection of podcasts on a topic to be determined.
Looking forward to it.